The Islamic Republic of Iran would not develop nuclear weapons because the supreme leader, Ali Khamenei, has banned them. That was a statement made by President Masoud Pezeshkian. He said this earlier today, adding that the religious leader of a society cannot lie like politicians. The president went further to say, when he announces that we will not have a nuclear weapon, it means we won't. He said this ahead of the third round of nuclear talks with the US, which has continued to accuse Tehran of seeking to develop this nuclear weapon. Even President Trump, during his State of the Union address, which was the longest in the US's modern history, he also referred to it, referring to Iran as the entity that sponsors state terror across the globe, and they will never allow, they meaning the so-called Western alliance, will never allow Iran to develop the nuclear weapon. So Khamenei issued a fatwa and the religious decree which effectively banned the development of nuclear weapons, and that was back in the early 2000s. So with the third round of nuclear talks again on the horizon in Geneva, where to from here? Because the talks are now continuing into the third round, but there's a massive buildup of US military presence in West Asia, prodigiously heading towards the Persian Gulf. So is this to threaten the Islamic Republic of Iran, to get them and force them to make concessions? What exactly is going on? Professor Ahmed Jazbai, executive member of the Media Review Network Online. Professor, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Shukran for having me.
Professor, we once again are at the precipice of the next round of nuclear talks in Geneva. Didn't yield much last week. We spoke to Donovan Williams last week, and his assertions were didn't yield much. What do we expect now from the third round? And still the massive military buildup by the US continues to head towards the Persian Gulf. So they are saying talks, but for what? The actions are kind of hinting towards an imminent attack that they want to execute on Iran.
Yeah, at the moment talks have paused, presumably to give both sides a chance to go back to their respective, leadership to get directions. When it comes to Trump is sort of a schizophrenic. He would talk about, negotiations and wanting a peace prize and Nobel Peace Prize. But at the other end, he is building up, the largest military buildup in.
Professor Ahmed Jazbai, we're losing our connection with you. Professor?
Sorry about that. Okay. Yeah, it is obviously a effort from on the side of Trump to pressurize Iran. We've seen Steve Witkoff mentioned earlier that that Trump was quite perplexed that Iran has not capitulated, and that's the word he used, capitulated, in light of that military buildup. So it's to pressure Iran. Trump does not want a war. I can tell you that.
Yes.
But again, as what I said last year, when you interviewed me on the same topic, is that it is the tail that wags the dog, or the dog that wags the tail. But we know a few weeks, whether it was last week or the week before, it was Netanyahu who spent some time in Washington for his seventh visit in the last year to America. So we know the dynamics of American politics, that the power lies within APEC and its power, and they have been beating the war drums. And Netanyahu has been beating the war drums of Iran for at least the last 2 to 3 decades. So the likelihood of war is there, but the possibility of diplomacy reigning supreme is also still there right now. So at the moment, it is, you would say that the likelihood of war is very high, but we'll see whether Trump is ultimately the commander-in-chief of the United States military, or whether it's Benjamin Netanyahu.
Indeed, Professor Gain, if we focus on that, then we would hope that diplomacy does reign supreme and sanity prevails, because another attack on Iran, whether it be the Zionist entity going it alone or forcing the hand of the United States, because we can clearly see that President Trump begrudgingly does not want a confrontation with Iran. But again, as you say, 7 visits in 1 year, Netanyahu coming to meet President Trump in the White House in his first year of his administration, second term. The fact that they are pushing for it, but the disastrous consequences if Iran is attacked is, again, and we spoke about it last year, Professor, the strong likelihood of the Straits of Hormuz closing, crude oil supply shutting off. That's literally 40, maybe even 45%. It would mean that crude oil and the price of petrol will skyrocket globally. The impact will not just be resting on Iran and the United States and the Zionist regime, but this will have a knock-on effect of the entire world.
Yes, so, you know, obviously, you know, as the old adage goes, when elephants fight, it's the grass that suffers.
Yeah.
In this respect, I mean, the geopolitical ramifications will be felt from the southernmost tip in Africa for us to, you know, to East Asia, to the Pacific, to North America, and so on. The Americans, by their calculations, think that, you know, that the ramification will be quite severe. Iran, unlike the last time, will not simply just go for a symbolic strike against, an American base, the Al Udeid base.
Yes.
It is going to go this time quite, vast in terms of targeting most American establishments around the region within its striking range. And given the fact that, you know, the Americans seem to be shifting the goalposts with this negotiation, what you're saying that better begin their geopolitical consideration and calculation to see how best they can minimize the impact of an impending war, which won't be a short war. Trump wants a limited strike. He mentioned it yesterday to pressurize Iran. But Iran this time would know that, it is. You know, now or never for Iran, to be honest, to fight back and to fight back comprehensively in order to, for once and for all, to keep that threat at bay. The Israelis are not strong enough to go at it alone, which is why they've dragged the Americans in it with them. So, you know, at the moment, the signs are ominous. But it appears that there is some diplomatic pressure, especially from American allies, Qatar, Turkey, and so on, for a diplomatic solution.
In conclusion, Professor Gain, we are in a scenario and we find ourselves with a global landscape where those who are continuing to commit a genocide and kill innocent civilians are the ones claiming to hold the moral high ground, where the very genocide engineers are purporting to be the ones saying we will not allow a so-called terrorist entity to continue to sponsor state terrorism through all of its proxies. Just the irony of all of that is just absolutely, it's the gall of it. And you think about it, and that shows you the lopsided world that we are living in at the moment.
Yeah, you know, it's more the audacity of, Western imperialism and Israel, Western state. You see, this points to the power of narrative building and myth making, which goes toward, talks about the supremacy of a myth. Those who hold the levers of power create myths, create narratives to justify it. And I suspect, it's what's happening. The Americans are trying to build a narrative to justify justify this war. Right now, the narrative is not strong enough, which is why they haven't gone out for the war as yet. Because Trump is talking about Nobel Peace Prize. He talks about stopping 8 wars. Yet he wants to start. He goes and abducts the president. He wants to come out with another war against Iran and so on. So it's about the power of narratives and myth making. You know, the legacy media, as it's called, which the MAGA fan base likes to refer to it as, is the same media which Trump is relying on to buy his war in Iran, and they are not buying it full scale. Not that they won't buy it eventually. Fox News is permanently in his corner, but the others like CNN and so on are resisting, and resisting to some minor extent. But how long they can resist is another thing. So it points to the power of narratives and myth making. You know, this perpetual idea that Iran is an existential threat to Western civilization, existential threat to Israel, that is building the nuclear weapon. It's only Trump and Netanyahu who believes that. The IAEA have said that Iran is not building a nuclear weapon. The EU knows that Iran is not building a nuclear weapon. The 60% enriched uranium threshold that they've crossed is not enough to build a nuclear weapon. So everyone knows that they're not building a nuclear weapon. So they're trying to control the narrative more and more, which is why the Islamic Republic is being demonized. But unlike Iraq, unlike other nations, the Islamic Republic is strong, you know, and they can get into a war of attrition with the United States. And this is what the United States is wary of. They do not have the appetite for another 20-year war as they were involved in Afghanistan. And ultimately, it is what is making Trump and the military establishment quite wary about launching an attack on Iran.
Indeed, we definitely will be watching it and monitoring it very, very closely. Hope to chat soon again. Professor Ahmed Jazbai, Executive Member of the Media Review Network. Jazakallah, always.